Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 811. It's the 26th of June, 2017. On the podcast today, Colm Clunan, Finance Director of Tlou Energy, TLOU's ticker, and Colm covers their most recent bits of news, including the appointment of a new director and first gas to power generation. Also on the podcast today, John Peters, Managing Director of Strategic Minerals, that's SML ticker, and John talks about their fully funded exploration program for its wholly owned subsidiary, Central Australian Rare Earths. Plus, I also have Tony Stiff, Group Chief Executive Officer of Flow Group, and Tony talks about the recent capital fundraise and their focus on accelerating Flow Energy growth. As always, I also have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and top five most liked RNSs on the platform today.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Colm Clunan, Finance Director at Tlou Energy. It's TLOU ticker. Colm, thanks for coming back on.
G'day, Justin. Great to be back on again. It's been a while.
Yes. Well, the last time I spoke was Tony, and he seems upbeat, and you've had several bits of news of late, so we'll get to those bits of news in a bit. But before we do, as always, people listening right now, not quite aware what you do, Colm, at Tlou Energy. Can you explain the business, please?
Yeah, we are a coal bed methane gas to power development company. To put that in plainer English, we extract gas from coal underground without taking the coal out of the ground. We then use that gas to generate power, and then we sell that, or we plan to sell that power or that electricity into the grid in Botswana. So yes, our operations are located in Botswana in southern Africa. A lot of people may not know South Africa or Southern Africa, the region in general, but Botswana would be far and away the best place in the region to do business. It's a stable, democratic country. They have significant amount of revenue that comes from diamond mining. They're one of the largest diamond miners in the world. They have a large tourism industry. They have very supportive government. And one of the issues they have is a lack of power to generate more business, more industry in the region. And we have a large gas asset in that country whereby we can provide power to the grid to develop Botswana further. So as a result, the government are extremely supportive of us. The region in general, Botswana and the Southern African region, are extremely power short. There's a requirement of about 6,000 megawatts or so of power in the region. So the market is there. We have the gas in the ground. We have the support of government. And it's all falling into place for us.
Excellent stuff. And just as an overview of the timeline there, so when do you hope to be producing? I know we'll go into a bit of news now where you started proving up the concept here, but when do you, on a commercial level, hope to be sort of producing this gas to power?
We're hoping to have first power into the grid in about 18 to 24 months. Now, okay. There's a number of caveats to that in sort of how quickly the government respond to us in relation to getting the project development up and running and so on. But all things going to plan, within 24 months, we could have power into the grid.
Marvellous stuff. Okay, let's go back through some of the news you've had the last few weeks. And on the 20th of June, you announced, actually, first gas to power generation. So what's all this about, Colm?
Yeah, that's something we've been working on. We announced it, I think, late last year that we were planning to start using the gas that we flare in the field. So we've been flaring gas from our Salemo project in Botswana for well over 12 months now. And what we plan to do, so when we drill out the wells, when we're producing the gas in the wells, we have to run a diesel generator to run the pumps on the wells that continually pump out the water and the gas. The what we've done now is we're actually harnessing that gas that we're producing, and instead of using a diesel generator, we're using that gas and putting it into a gas generator. So effectively, that gas being produced from the well is continuing to run the pumps that provide the power for that well. So look, it's a relatively small scale process, but the reality of it is that it is effectively first gas monetization. Mm. And there have been, you know, people who weren't quite sure whether, you know, our gas was suitable for this type of power generation, really. But even at this very small scale, you can see that from in a very simple process, yes, you just take the gas from the well, put it directly into a gas generator, and it generates power. So going forward, it shows that it can be done, and now it's a case of, you know, drilling out the field further and doing it at a much larger scale and moving towards revenue.
Yeah, so essentially, it's like you said, all you need to do now is scale this up, and of course you've got the resources there, and it probably, you know, saves you a bit of money on the diesel as well, doesn't it?
It does save a bit of money on the diesel. But it also shows that, you know, rather than using dirty diesel effectively, you can use your clean gas power. Yeah. So the cost saving, while it's always nice as a finance guy, every cost saving is always welcome, but the reality is just the proof of concept first gas monetization is just a real significant milestone for the company. And look, over time we've had a number of milestones, and we seem to be kicking them, and you know, as we keep kicking our goals, you know, the company valuation should increase, and you know, all in train to hit that target of getting power into the grid.
Okay, and the last bit of news you released was a director appointment, and this was Mr. Hugh Swire. And what's his background there?
Yeah, we've known Hugh for quite some time, and he was actually a shareholder from day one back in 2009, before we're even a listed company. Now, Hugh's got a background in, you know, with various businesses around the UK and in Asia. He's got a lot of contacts that, you know, will be potential assets to us going forward. But look, he's got a great knowledge of the industry. He's been involved with us for quite some time, and look, I think his knowledge and experience are going to be a great addition to the team.
I know he's got a Chinese connection, which is always handy when it comes to, I know China are huge investors in Africa, and so a partner in Mahon China, isn't it? So is that going to be useful, you think?
Potentially, look, we further down from what we're doing now, we'll be moving on to our development stage of the project, and we will be looking at raising. Well, we are talking to numerous groups in relation to raising our development funds, and some of those groups are, you know, I think we've spoken about them before. The groups that have came in through our development partner IPC, and yes, they, you know, if Chinese money is available, we're definitely going to, we're not going to turn anyone down, and we'll do whatever the best deal is for our shareholders. And if that comes through China and through links from Hugh, well, you know, that's an advantage we'll take as well.
Yeah. Okay, so you say you're hitting these targets and these milestones. What is the next big milestone now for Talao, Colin?
Look, I think everyone who's been following the story knows that we have the request for proposal from the Botswana government. Now, just to go back a little bit for those who might be new to the story, the Botswana government came out last year with a request for to supply up to 100 megawatts of coal bed methane power into the grid. Mm-hmm. The initial documentation came out in January this year, and we're looking to respond to that by July. I think the due date is the 14th or the 12th of July, and yeah, we're working towards that, and look, pretty much on track, really. We had initially planned to, you know, submit the documentation as and when we had it ready, but the reality is that the way the tender works is no tenders will actually be opened until the submission date in any case. So look, we're aiming to submit come July the 12th. Yeah. But it's all on track. The planned project would be a scale project, get the first 10 megawatts into the grid and then build from there. And the idea with the scaled project is that we don't have to go out and, you know, commit an initial excessive amount of capital expenditure to get the 100 megawatts going. We can get the first 10 megawatts or up to 10 megawatts up and running, start generating some revenue. And then the beauty of coal bed methane is as you drill out the field, you can start to increment your power generation. So you can start off, maybe get to the first 10, and then you know you can build up towards 50, and then build up again towards 100. So that's the next key item that will be lodged, is that request for proposal response. In addition, we'll also be doing the mining license application. We have about 8,000 square kilometers of exploration expenditure in Botswana at the moment, and we're looking to convert part of that to a mining license. Now, that mining license would then give you security of tenure over the area for up to about 30 years. So that's the next sort of key item we will be doing. And work-wise on the ground, then we also have our seismic program, which is due to start in quarter three. All the equipment has been mobilized and should be making its way towards Africa starting sometime in the next quarter. And the actual seismic acquisition itself takes about a month, maybe 6 weeks by the time acquisition is done and data has been analyzed and we get the results back. So sort of a month to 6 weeks. And the whole idea of the seismic survey is to to pinpoint areas for further exploration work. Yeah. And also it will add to our already significant gas reserves and resources. Yeah. And when you the key thing about your reserves and resources is building these just simply adds value to the company. You know, any of the analysts will put a value on the reserves and the resources that you have, be they 1P, 2P or 3P reserves, or 1, 2, 3C contingent resources. And every little bit we can add in there will add value to the company. So following on from the seismic, we'll be looking at increasing reserves. And following on from that, then we would look at doing a number of core holes in specific regions based on the results of the seismic data, and that would increase reserves again further. All that then leads into the end of the year when we ideally, subject to response from the government, we'd have a positive reply in relation to the request for proposal, and we would move towards development.
Yeah, well, I was just going to ask you that. You answered that. I was going to say, when you're dealing with any government, a body, I suppose, it's hard to know their timeline of how they work, how fast they work. But you're hoping you submit this now in July, and what you're hoping to get an answer back, obviously, before the end of the year. Is that right?
Yes, we would potentially we'd have a look. You can never say never, but yeah. we're expecting that we would have a response probably by the end of the year. If not by the end of the year, I'd expect very early in 2018. But ideally, well before the end of the year. But the government themselves, they are extremely
agreeable, amenable.
They want this project to work. There was a Botswana resource sector conference last week, and the minister he did mention he did mention CBM generation yet again in his speech.
Yeah.
And look, it's been talked about. It's getting a lot more traction in Botswana. So people are well aware of the project, and the locals, I think they're just looking forward to having an industry in country, and ideally more reliable power.
Yeah, yeah. I think the word supportive is probably more to the point. Okay, cool, Colin. Well, it's all going to plan. If someone listening to this right now and they like the sound of it, but they're not following you on Vox Markets, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button, please, Colin.
Look, I think we're a very attractive prospect of a company that can grow. Look, in my opinion, I think over time, once we hit more milestones, we will continue to increase our share price significantly. We have an enormous quantity of gas in the ground that we can get out and sell into a huge market in the region. We have experienced people. We've an experienced partner in IPC with potential financiers behind them. So all the key ingredients are there for this project to happen. And, you know, we're working hard to make sure that it does.
Excellent stuff. Colin, good to chat to you, and hopefully speak again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Peters, Managing Director of Strategic Minerals. That's SML ticker. John, thanks for joining me.
Good to speak to you again, Justin.
Now, you're a busy fella, and you've got lots of things going on, and you've got a bit of news out today, which is quite significant, and we'll get to that bit in a few seconds. But before we do that, John, as always, for new people listening or people not aware of you, could you just give us summaries to the business, please?
Yeah, look, Strategic Minerals is a fairly unique AIM-listed miner in the fact that we have a cash flow that arrives from our magnetite stockpile operations in New Mexico in the US, and that cash flow keeps the lights on and is making us a nice profit from here on in, by the looks of it. And we use that to help fund a few of our other projects, provide us additional upside, such as the tin mine explore drilling that we're doing in Redmore and near Cornwall, and also the number of exploration sites we've got in Western Australia around Hens Camp and Mount Weld. And that latter one is what the announcement today was about.
Excellent. Well, let's go through that, John, what you're hoping to do there and over the next few months and what you're hoping to discover there. So tell us some of the significant bits about this release today.
Okay, well, what it highlighted is that we're going to go through a three-phase program at the moment. And realistically, what we're doing here is reinforcing to the market, or telling the market and keeping face with it, that we said we'd let go our plans about now. We are. The plans are pretty straight. It's a three-phase one, as we said. The first phase involves doing some air core drilling around Hans Camp, where we found some very nice signs of cobalt. The air core drilling, which is not as in depth, we're going to do about 40 to 50 of them, and we can do it in a reasonably short time. So expect to have that in the results within the first quarter. And we're hoping with that we may even get to a stage where we can define a resource for the cobalt. And there's a lot of interest in that. But like McDonald's, we have fries with it.
Yeah.
We actually had found out that there's also some reasonable nickel laterite there. And that we may be able to also define a fair resource there as well, which only just helps booster up the thing. So that's our phase one. And while we're doing that, we're continuing to look at the main game there, which is in fact nickel sulfide, which is down lower and is a laterite type deposit. So by doing the first part, we can also probably put ourselves in the best position to do the deeper diamond drill holes, which are more expensive, but are worth, you know, get you down to where they should be, etc. And basically, from that, we're hoping to get to nickel sulfide deposits, which are, as I said, they're worth a lot more too. So that could be between one and three holes, just depending on what we position ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. And
phase one and
go on, John.
Sorry, phase one and phase two, mm-hmm. We've actually already put in a program of works request to the Western Australian government. Mm-hmm. So that will happen along. And then the third phase is not related to that area at all. It's Mount Weld, right next to the world-class Lynas rare earth operation. We actually abut their property. And we're actually there. We're undergoing some geological surveys, etc., preparing ourselves to drill and to do some work, but basically getting ourselves ready to look for both rare earths, but also it's a known gold area as well. So our testing is likely to find both. So we're just going through that process. That should happen again in the third quarter, and then hopefully we might move into the drilling in the fourth. So the second half of this year is quite looking quite good for us as far as our exploration there. And of course, the big thing about all this is the fact that we don't ask our shareholders for a cent to do all this. We actually, or we didn't raise to do it. We're actually using it out of the cash flow we're getting out of Cobra. So it's all about, you know, we're keeping it, doing the right thing by our shareholders first and foremost.
Yeah, I was just going to say, ask you there. So you're hoping to do this one in the second half? I mean, you've obviously lodged with the government here. And the process there, what happens there? Do you have to get permission for that, or is it just, do you have to lodge it? What happens?
I know you lodge it, you get permission. It's a fairly standard thing.
Yeah.
So that's not too hard. You know, you've got to have your landowner's permission and all that. We've lined up our ducks, so that's okay. That all should follow through all right at the moment. There's nothing that will hold that back. It just a little bit depends on what the results are like and where they are as to whether it's a jaw, you know, whether it's what sort of resource it can be tabled by the geologists, etc. But you know, we're pretty hopeful. As I said, we've got the cash flow. Basically, we took on this project because this is such a mineral rich area.
Yeah.
And so all we're doing now is saying, well, which one of them is going to pay off for us? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing. So we're in a good position here. A bit like Strategic itself.
Yeah, well, and like you say, importantly, you don't have to go to the market, which I'm sure shareholders will love that. And, you know, it's coming from Cobre. And mentioning that, let's just touch on other parts of the business. We could, John, while you're here, mm-hmm. Everything going well in Cornwall, Tin and Cobre?
Okay, yeah, look, that's good. I'm glad you mentioned that. I mean, we're starting to get to about the halfway part of the drilling in Cornwall. So soon we'll be able to we always said we'd put out a bunch. Once we got the assays back from the labs, we said we'd put out some feedback to the market about what we're finding. So that should occur next quarter again. Mm-hmm. And we continue to finish the program over the rest of the year, etc. So all of that's going all right. Cobra, of course, again, I think the market probably underestimates a little bit how well Cobra is running. We've made announcements about our new client. They've started now with a minimum of 4,000 tonnes a month themselves. Mm-hmm. So we're in a very cash-generative position at the moment. And so, you know, we're not the type to just sit on a mound of cash to look after directors and management salaries. Instead, we'd like to try and use that money to gain more value in the company. And, of course, we've had quite a run in our share price. We ran up to 3.7p,
yeah,
which opened up a whole lot of options. But it also meant that now on the board you've got Peter Whail, who's got effectively, between what he's bought and some options he's received, he's got about 50 million shares in the company. And myself, I bought about 10 million. I've got about 40 million, which are now vested, mm-hmm. of options. So that means every time our share price goes up or down 0.1 of a p, I personally make or lose £50,000. Yeah, so you can bet your bottom dollar I'm making sure that this company long-term goes well.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's always nice to see the guys there from the board having skin in the game. I mean, that's one of the reasons, you know, I'd look to invest in a company. You know, if the directors don't have big skin in the game, you think, what's the point here? If they're not risking their capital, why shouldn't I risk mine? So, John, one thing left, and people are liking what you do here. You're very busy on all fronts now. It's, you know, you're really kicking off the programme very well here. If someone's listening and they're not following you, and like you say, you've had a nice run in share prices, come back a little bit, maybe offering some people potential to get in at a lower level here. Could you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page if they're not following you, please?
Yeah, look, firstly, you're right. I think we've come back to a price that makes us worthwhile. When we're at 3.7p, I was starting to have a bit of trouble justifying it. Right now in the low twos, I think we're a really good buy, particularly with some of our upside potential. The second thing, of course, you've got an honest, committed, invested management that has shown that it can do these things and move the company along. And the third thing is that we've got assets internally that have a lot of upside, and please don't think we will stop there. This company is going to grow. And by that, that means actions and that means acquisitions. We will raise money when we have accretive assets and we will grow this company big time.
Excellent, John. It's good to speak to you, fella. And like I said, you're very busy at the moment. So no doubt we'll speak again very soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Justin. See you later, mate. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Tony Stiff, Group Chief Executive Officer of Flow Group. And the ticker there is FLOW or Flow. Tony, thanks for joining me again.
Yeah, good morning, Justin.
And we'll get into the bits of news you've had out late, so some significant news you've released. But before that, can you give a brief summary as to what Flow Group's all about, please, Tony?
Yeah, well, Flow Group is the core business of Flow Group is a challenger energy supply business. We supply gas and electricity competitively with great customer service to now over 250,000 customer accounts in the UK, about £135 million revenue on a forward-looking basis. So that's the main core of the business. We also have a micro CHP business, which is a gas boiler that makes electricity. That business came under threat last year with some government changes, with Brexit, with our costs going higher. So we have a new strategy with that business now to exploit the technology into Europe and to also look at a possible trade sale of that business as we go forward as well. And we have a home solutions business that puts smart technology into customers' houses. This is in line with our strategy of delivering more value to our energy customers.
Okay, all right. So if we're breaking it down, is it the three sections of the business and the boiler section you're looking to sell, is that right?
Yes, we are. We're not necessarily looking to sell. We're looking to commercialise the boiler business. It's been tough in the UK recently because of Brexit, with our costs going up about 20%. Mm-hmm. So it's really not economic in the UK anymore, but it is in Europe. So we're working with ENGIE to see if we can come to some commercial arrangements, or we may look at a trade sale of that business in the future.
Yeah, okay. On the 19th of June, you announced an update on fundraising to focus on accelerating Flow Energy growth. Can you take us through the finer points of this, please, Tony?
Yeah, we did. Our energy business was a growing business. We achieved a growth last year from 100,000 customer accounts to 250,000 customer accounts. So quite a significant growth. We looked at ways of growing that business either through a sell of the MCHP business. We looked at a strategic review. That for us wasn't right at that time. So we looked at fundraising to grow the energy business. We have a medium-term target to take us to 1 million customer accounts. So we're quite an aggressive plan over the next few years to grow that business to a profitable business. So the majority of the money will be used to support the growth of the energy business, but also paying off some liabilities that we had within the micro CHP boiler business.
Yeah, and so at the moment, how is business, Tony? And what's going on there?
Yeah, well, we've only just completed the fundraise. Mm-hmm. So we announced the fundraise. We announced there were around 250,000 customer accounts. It's a great market to be in. You know, the energy sector is digitizing. Costs are reducing we're reducing our costs to supply energy to customers. Our customer service is rated as one of the best in the country. So we're retaining our customers. We're growing. You know, we have a target this year. If we have some analysts' forecasts that are out in the market that we hope to achieve. So it's a steady growth throughout the year.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent stuff. And as you know, Tony, on the podcast, people listen, and I on the podcast every day, I highlight the top five most followed companies. So for people listening right now, and they're listening to this, and they see you restructuring, you've got some cash there, and you're looking for accelerating the growth of the Flow Energy Group part of the business. Could you give them three reasons, if they aren't following you, three reasons why they should, hit that follow button, please?
Everyone takes a service at home for their electricity. Some also have gas. You know, there's about 20 million customers in the UK that are supplied gas as well. So it's about 50 million customer accounts available in the market. So it's a huge market to go for. And recently, you've seen the big six energy players, players like British Gas, Npower, losing market share to smaller, more nimble, independent energy businesses like Flow. So we think that over the next couple of years, we're going to gain market share from those guys. We're going to grow into, you know, a significant business with, you know, a million plus customer accounts in the medium term, which is, you know, sort of growing our revenue from 135 million to where we are today to well over 500 million. Growing into a profitable business. That's the first one. The second one is that when you look at customer service, you know, customers usually move on price. They move on for a competitive price. Next, they look at the customer service. They look at the reviews. They look at Trustpilot. They look at, they talk to their peers. Flow has an exemplary record of top graded customer service. You're constantly in the top three, if not number one, in a number of sectors for the customer service that we provide. So we think we're doing something right there. We think we're providing competitive energy and a great customer service. And the third reason is that these midterm, well, what I would classify as midterm energy companies, companies like Flow, with around 250,000 customer accounts to a million customer accounts, those companies recently have had investments in them around £300 a customer account. That's been the investment level. Currently today, Flow is on a per customer basis is around £100 a customer account. So I think there's a lot of upside for investors over the next few years by investing in Flow Group.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, marvellous, Tony. Well, it's good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll speak again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Justin. Goodbye.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They were at five, always there, Ascent Resources, AST. At four, Alba Minerals, ALBA. At three, Asia Met Resources, that's ARS, ticker, of course. At two, 88 Energy, 88E's ticker there. And number one most followed company after several sort of positive updates from their field there down in the Weald Basin in Southeast is UK Oil and Gas, UKOG. All right, top five most liked RSs. At five, Edenville Energy, EDL, AGM statement. At four, it's just come out, Angus Energy, that's ANGS, Brockenfield update. At three, UK Oil and Gas, UCOG, drilling update at Broadford Bridge 1. At two, Strategic Minerals, that's a KH1 exploration program. I talked about that with John earlier on. And number one, most liked RNS, was from 88 Energy Operations Update. Even though I think it's taken a bit of a, I think the share price has taken a bit of a knock, hasn't it? Let's have a look at the share price here. It took a bit of a knock on that update. Yeah, down 11% or 11.5%. So, but it was still well liked. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.